is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
AP, top UN court orders Israel to prevent genocide in Gaza, but stops short of ordering ceasefire. I welcome Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing most recently at Real Clear Politics about this surprising representation by the International Court of Justice about the word genocide. Peter, a very good evening to you. The word genocide was invented in the 1940s, as you have reported before, in order to speak to what Churchill said, this is a crime that has no name, meaning the systematic and extremely violent removal of the Jewish people of the occupied countries in the Second War by the Hitlerites. That became known as genocide. In 1948, the United Nations, the newborn United Nations, took time to memorialize that with a convention about genocide. That is the same word that is being used today, directed at the State of Israel, which, after all, was born out of the genocide of the Hitlerites. There's irony enough here, so I come to you first because you wrote about this before the International Court of Justice gave us its verdict so far, and you were anticipating a verdict. Were you surprised that it was neither this nor that, that they chose to come up to the line, speak poorly of Israel, but back off from the condemnation we expected? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, I wasn't really surprised, even though I do regard the ruling as pusillanimous. That is, we have to understand what was at stake and what constitutes an interim ruling. So the larger request from South Africa was to order Israel to cease its military operations on the ground that Israel was perpetrating genocide. But in front of the International Court of Justice, the finding of genocide take years of investigation. These in this case, we're dealing with a charge that was brought 2 months after the fighting had begun. So that this initial ruling was really the equivalent of asking for a temporary injunction, a restraint. Israel should be ordered to stop fighting until such time as the court can reach a judgment about whether it's actually committing genocide or not, which would have effectively stopped fighting. The court, in my judgment, ought to have, to use American legal language, dismissed the complaint on the grounds that it was not, even if, well, I'll put it differently, I should have dismissed the complaint on the grounds that they were wholly without merit. Instead, the court said, it's plausible. We don't have all the evidence. It's plausible that Israel's committing genocide. So we urge Israel to take all precautions to avoid committing genocide. But in my judgment, that itself is an outrageous ruling.
The Convention of Genocide, this is from 1948, does not, in my mind, logically describe what is happening now across the Middle East, but certainly in the Gaza War. It says that in the present convention, genocide means any of the following acts committed with intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, such as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily harm, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its destruction, imposing measures intended to prevent births, forcibly transferring children of the group to another group. I can find in the news nowhere any of those acts committed by anybody relating to the official IDF position in Gaza. It's fighting a war against attackers who it's defending Israel against combatants. So how was it, Peter, now that we've got some distance from South Africa's charge, they explained how they were accusing Israel of a genocide that does not comport with the facts of the convention?
It's because South Africa and many diplomats and intellectuals around the world has twisted the meaning of genocide. Genocide has a clear legal meaning. You read from the convention. It involves the intent to destroy or whole in part a people. South Africa has provided zero evidence that that is Israel's intention. South Africa is acting as if genocide actually means significant losses of civilians in the midst of warfare. That's not what genocide means. There are other provisions of the laws of armed conflict that call for armies to take measures to minimize civilian casualties. In order to determine whether Israel has taken these measures to minimize civilian casualties consistent with military necessity, we would need to review Israel's rules of engagement and examine how well Israel has lived up to rules of engagement. The court did not examine Israel's rules of engagement, let alone measure how well Israel has lived up to them. Therefore, it was in no position to issue an even a temporary judgment that these charges are plausible. It didn't look at the relevant facts. So what we have here is a twisting of the meaning of the term away from intent to destroy a people wholly in part to a number of casualties that we third parties determines is too many casualties in as a country is exercising its lawful right to self-defense.
Your article at Real Clear Politics now takes me to examining South Africa, not only its motives, but its connections to the larger story of this contest with bad actors. South Africa is the S of BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. South Africa is the weakest of those economies and is in no way present in other conversations, to my knowledge. It is very much struggling to hold on to a population that's restive, that's young, and that it's inadequately prospering in the world of natural resources. All of that suggests to me that South Africa is a tool for some other actor. Have we a surmise about who South Africa is pleasing with its clearly meritless case?
Well, South Africa has long indulged friendly relations with Hamas. Hamas, as we know, is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Islamic Republic of Iran. On the day of Hamas attacks, South Africa issued a statement, a formal statement from its Ministry of International Relations and Cooperation. In that formal statement, it blamed Israel for the attacks on Israel. It said the reason that Israeli civilians were being burned alive in their homes, the reason that Israeli women were being raped is because Israel was illegally occupying Palestinian land, because of Israel's settlement policy, because of Israel's desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, because of ongoing oppression of the Palestinian people. I should say these alleged this alleged conduct by Israel. This is both a tremendous outrage and the view of Hamas and the view of Iran that Israel deserves what it gets. So I think we have the answer there. We know where South Africa is currying favor, and if anything, the International Court of Justice ought to have reprimanded South Africa for his friendly relations with a militia, with a terrorist organization, whose official commitment is to the destruction of a member state of the United Nations, namely Israel.
Now we look at the concept of the Global South, which some editorialists have said is one effect of South Africa's meritless charge to rally the Global South. This is an imaginary construction. It isn't really about people who are below the equator. It's about a group of countries that once upon a time were called non-aligned or the third world. And there is the suggestion that the enemies of Israel and the United States and NATO are driving this. I'm thinking of Moscow. I might also be thinking of Beijing, but Moscow is enough. Do you measure, Peter? I can't tell. Is Moscow a hidden hand behind these activities? Does it gain as Israel is dragged into the international court and has to answer for something so absurd?
The answer is that the most powerful countries in so-called BRIC Russia and China are authoritarian. They are dictatorships. They're both have a foreign policy that's driven by a large goal, which is to frustrate what is ever in America's interest. It is not in America's interest that America's great friend in the Middle East, which stands for liberal and democracy, liberty and democracy, namely Israel, is the subject of a brutal massacre. It is not in America's interest. It actually destabilizes the Middle East for countries to seek effectively to short circuit Israel's exercise of the right of its self-defense. This is not only destabilizes the Middle East, but will have knock-on effects for the United States when it seeks to exercise its right of self-defense or seeks to come to the aid of other freedom-loving countries. So it seems to me there is a clear interest in the leaders of BRIC and affiliate and the poor, more dependent nations of BRIC to support these outrageous allegations against Israel.
I'm speaking to Peter Berkowitz of the Hoover Institution, writing Real Clear Politics. We're talking about an international court hesitating to go any farther than, because there's no evidence, that would be one reason to hesitate, on the charge by South Africa against Israel that it's guilty of committing genocide. When we come back, the larger story about what is to be done, not just with this smear, but also with what we see everywhere, global South, global North, what appears to be a new rage of anti-Semitism. What's driving that? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.